Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, welcome to episode 5 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by me, Jason Tantra, with my beautiful husband, Ingo Tantra. Today we're recording this on Valentine's Day, and so we spend the first part of the podcast talking about love, not necessarily romantic love, but talking about love in Tantra. Okay, hello, sweet baby.
Hello, sweet darling.
Here we are. Good morning. Here we are, episode 5. And before we talk about what it is we're going to talk about today, do you know what day it is?
It's Valentine's Day, the 14th of February.
I know, imagine that. And also when I hear about Valentine's Day, it's always a celebration for some and a huge disappointment for others. And, you know, feels a bit like New Year's Eve for me. But it does remind me, it does bring me back to two beautiful things. One is how blessed I am to have beautiful you in my life.
What do you expect me to say? We are on podcast.
How blessed I am to have a beautiful Ingo, or my cute pet name that no one ever knows, for you, my beautiful Ingo.
Well, on topic, I don't know if our listeners know that what brought us together, it was Tantra, wasn't it? We met in a... it's almost like in a cliche. We met in a Tantra retreat a long time ago, like many others.
18 years ago.
18 years ago, yes.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I've never looked back since.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I'm taking you out on a date tonight, taking her out for a date.
And we are on Paradise Island still, on Tantra Island, yes. It's called.
But the other thing I wanted to speak to as well is just the... I just feel very, very privileged to... you know, whilst we're talking so technically about Tantra in a podcast, it's so interesting that we're talking about something that is an embodied physical practice. And I just want to come back to what is at the seed of all of this for me, the seed of all of this Tantra, which for me is about love and the possibility of love and love being the answer to many, many things. Well, I think the answer to everything. You know, I always say if you put our world leaders in a Tantra course for a week, I wonder if the world would look a very different place.
Well, there are... I would say there are several levels of, you know, love is the answer. If you just say this, for me, it doesn't actually do much.
No.
If I just say this, what I mean when I say love is the answer is actually an experience. It runs through your body and it puts you into an almost, it's a state that's different from every day, but it feels more real. And you feel... connected to everything, in love with everything, and it's something that is very much beyond words. And I don't even know sometimes if love can, the word love can describe that. But it's certainly something that comes up through spiritual practice that you can access through that and make it part of your life.
But I also feel that in all of the hundreds, or maybe thousands, I don't know, but certainly hundreds of workshops that you and I have taught in our 18 years of facilitating and holding, but is it 16 years, 18 years, 16 years? 18 years, 17 years, somewhere?
Something like that.
Something like that. 2006 was our first workshop. What I feel deeply humbled about is the continual witnessing that I have in holding that space of seeing love between men in its most profound, in its most exquisite, in its most just pure love in action. You know, Tantra for me at a certain level is love in action. You know, and how many times, beautiful times, have we witnessed such amazing acts of love in so many different ways between men in all beauty. It just gives me hope for humanity.
For me, the most profound thing is when I see people breaking through to this realization that, you know, many people come to our retreats and say, okay, where do I haven't found love. I haven't found love because I haven't found the ideal partner yet. And then they break through to that experience that it doesn't depend on anything that is outside of you. That they have that already, and they can be that, completely independently from outside conditions. And that's just something to be experienced, to be to be believed, because we are conditioned into that belief that in order to experience love, we need to need to meet the perfect partner or something like that.
Well, you have.
I certainly have.
I have too. Quickly, ready. but I think the other thing for me is I've just been writing, or not writing, but editing and putting into promotion material for the festival, all of the testimonials that we receive. And I sometimes wonder whether the talk of love, like love is through every single testimonial that's there. And I wonder if it's hard for that to be believable in the first instance, or secondly possible, but just to convey the possibility of a men who loves men community and the possibility of love that is able to be expressed. It's exquisite, it's delicious, it's safe, it's home, it's fun, and it's just beautiful.
Exactly. And you know, the festival is one of those places where this regularly happens. I love the festival when, you know, when people arrive, they're often, if they're new, they might be a little bit
nervous.
A little bit nervous.
Yes.
Oh, what the hell is this gonna be? And
yes.
And then 24 hours later, everyone is like, oh, I love everyone here. I want to stay forever. I've made so many friends, and I don't even know, you know, is this still friendship? Is this already love?
Yes.
But they're not my partner, so yeah. How the fuck does this work? and I would say we have learned, you and me, within the years, to basically create the conditions. We put certain things in. The way we welcome people, the way we help them, make them feel at ease, the way how we put, you know, we do some exercises in the beginning so that, you know, you cut past that small talk and that, that nervousness immediately, because you know that everyone is in the same boat. Everyone wants connection. And once you have realized, once they realize that they're, and I don't have to pretend anymore. And then everyone melts into that.
Yes.
And to create these conditions is something, that you and me have somehow made that our job. So, you know, everyone talks about space holding in Tantra. This is like to create those conditions for that to happen, that is space holding in Tantra.
Completely.
And that's what we do in any retreat, but especially at the festival because it's so big.
Well, and for me, anything that you experience at the festival, love, none of that's by mistake, in that you and I, with precision, have gone through to, like, try to create an experience of how can 130 men feel something so profound in love that's so beautiful and amazing that, you know, they're crying in the car park as they go home because their hearts have been opened. And I think this leads in nicely to our theme of the podcast, like what is a spiritual practice. But for me, the practice at the festival is to be love. And in your human experience, as you, being love moment to moment and letting all of the clag and outside stuff of your life just like park that for 5 days. Also park your insecurities, park your shame, park anything that's going on in your outside life. And just to give yourself 5 days of total freedom to be you as love in the identity of you as a human being.
And that's one important thing that comes up. You know, what you're saying, to give yourself the total freedom to be yourself.
Yes.
Because people usually ask, oh God, do I have to do, you know, how do I do this? Do I have to do things with someone else that I don't like to do and all of that? And but actually the thing is, just it happens when you just give yourself the permission to be completely authentic with yourself. You don't have to be anything else than express exactly what you're feeling in that moment.
Beautiful.
and that authenticity then opens something up and it feels free and the other person can feel that, and then something connects, and then that's then when this magic happens.
So that's our brief introduction of love on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I think for me, just before we must move on, but just to say that for us, the expression of love isn't a romantic love, even though that's beautiful, but there's a love that's even more profound, more real, more accessible, more truthful, is the love that we experience in Tantra. And the way that people are sharing that, you know, through, as I said, 130 men on a 5-day love cruise in the middle of Glastonbury. It's like, what's not to love? Anyway, let's move on to our main topic. The main topic today is, what is a spiritual practice? What is a spiritual practice? And for me, that's a really good question. Because everybody will have, you know, if you ask 100 different people, there will be 100 different interpretations of that question. And actually, I really wanted to get underneath the techniques of a spiritual practice, but we will cover those around, you know, what is the purpose of a spiritual practice? What am I doing here? Why would I have one? Should I have one? You know, and there's a whole heap of questions around, you know, a daily practice. You may have also heard people, as Inga would say, dear listeners, it seemed to be the term we've phrased. You know, it may be that there's nothing you do as a spiritual practice, and, you know, you may bump into somebody who says, you know, they get up at 4 a.m. for their spiritual practice that finishes at 10 a.m. And you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing for 6 hours of a spiritual practice? So those are some of the considerations and things to talk about. As, you know, we're pondering that question, what is a spiritual practice? But Ingo, I wanted to throw it over to you.
Yes.
For you to maybe make a start.
I think I've got a really good good start. I actually wanted to start from a different, slightly different angle.
Yes.
And I would actually want to start with one of, you know, the most sacred texts in the world's wisdom traditions, which is the Bhagavad Gita.
Beautiful.
And if you see the Bhagavad Gita as, you know, there are many ways to interpret it, obviously, but if you see it as a metaphor for the journey with all of its stages, for the spiritual journey, it has 18 chapters.
Wow.
And the first chapter actually, you know, for me encapsulates is, you know, where do you make the transition into the so-called normal life to a life that is informed by spiritual practice? And that chapter is called the Yoga of Dejection, and that feels a little bit almost negative, but I would suggest, you know, I think dear listener, maybe you can relate to this in your life. Have you ever asked yourself the question if this is all? If this is all that life has to offer? Have you ever had this nagging feeling or this nagging longing for there to be something more on a very, very deep level, something that cannot be met by conventional things that you buy or things that you acquire? There's a deep longing to become more, to be more. And I think, you know, I was certainly relating to that when I was starting and looking for a spiritual practice. This this longing that there is something more, and I don't quite know that yet, but the longing is there, and it's that simple in the beginning. So I would call it, there is a certain longing, and then you are deciding to do something about it.
So that longing...
Yes.
Is that what you would call an awakening?
No, that's pre that.
But do you also talked about the yoga of dejection, so I'm a bit confused.
So the yoga of dejection is very much about when a person realizes that everything they have achieved, everything they have, they're not satisfied. There's a very, very deep level of dissatisfaction.
With life?
It can show up in many different ways. It can be dissatisfaction with life.
Uh-huh.
It can be... you can actually be satisfied with life and at the same time feel there is something more that I'm longing for, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but there is something, and there is this kind of itch to scratch. Do you see what I mean?
I wonder whether that chimes into one of the things I've always said, is that nobody turns up to Tantra because everything is okay in their life. Normally, people are showing up to Tantra because, as you say, that yoga of dejection, there's a level of dissatisfaction, there's a level of unhappy, or it's not that you're not getting, but there must be something more, something that I can access, something that I can reach into and grow into.
Yes. So I would say that, if we talk about, you know, the our tradition in which we are teaching the longing, what it actually is, this longing is the longing of the self with capital S to return to its true nature, to realize reality with the capital R. But at the moment, you know, that sounds totally abstract. And when someone is new to spiritual practice, they don't necessarily realize that. So the mind then, what the mind then does is to look for something like a realm in your life in which you could work on yourself. And the deepest realm in your life that is most promising, and for a very, very good reason, actually two realms, is sex and connection.
Yes.
So it's usually like my soul is, you know, it's like my soul is longing for something. It doesn't know yet what it is because it hasn't experienced that or realized that yet. Yet it knows. So, oh God, you know, what is it in my life that I could go deeper with? And work with what is the thing that is maybe potentially the most powerful, and at the same time the one that, you know, really needs improvement, and sex and connection are usually these things for most people.
As you talk about that, there feels like an earnestness,
in
this seeking. And I think what you're saying is that this seeking is motivated by an unhappy place, that everything is not okay. Or for me, another dimension of that is the knowing that there's something greater. There's a sense of knowing inside of yourself that knows that there's something better. There's something better, there's something more, there's something to expand into that isn't yet immediately accessible in my day-to-day life, right here in my existence right now.
I like the way you're putting it, because that gives a positive twist to this kind of dejection thing. Because I dejection, this word is so misunderstood, but I would say exactly what you say, the sense that there is something greater.
Yes.
That is worth striving for. Or the knowing that there's something greater.
Yes.
And with that, you can actually be, you know, you don't necessarily have to be completely unhappy in your life. Some people who come to us are. Some people are not. They are just bored or confused. Or some even are happy but still feeling that there is something more. And I think that's the one, right?
And the thing that I notice when people then walk into our workshops, a Tantra workshop, they're already coming because at some level there's a dissatisfaction and or there's a hope for more.
Yes.
And also the other thing I think we're working with is people's history that they're walking into the room with. Mm. And that can be on different levels. Often and frequently, there's men in our spaces that have experienced, you know, trauma in many different forms. And I think that's a whole other podcast in itself. But there's stuff that's happened to us in our lives that take us away from that knowing that we are love, that we are beautiful. You know, in the last podcast, I talked about the two things that men who love men are dealing with, you know, like suppressing sexual energy and expressing, you know, sexual, I don't like the word preference because I don't think it is a preference, but expressing sexual orientation, and that those are being suppressed and that it's not okay to be you in a world. And we live in a world where you're feeling either constantly judged or you're feeling you've got to live up to a certain marker or to a certain standard. And the thing I love about Tantra, there's many things I love. The thing I love about Tantra is when you step into that workshop space, all of that is swept away and it doesn't have any value. It doesn't have any currency. And it's like learning a whole new language. I think Tantra is about learning a whole new language of how you exist beyond all of that mind conditioning and mind operating that's going on. And I think the question here for me is like, who are you beyond all of that mind activity? Who are you beyond your identity, beyond how you look, beyond how the shame that you feel, beyond the guilt, beyond all of those things that hold you back? Who are you? And Tantra shows you this most beautiful, exquisite, delightful, sensual, sexual, loving, magical, unicorn path of possibility that, quite frankly, for me, gives me hope for humanity. I feel like that was my Miss World speech.
This is what encapsulates Tantra for me. You know, yes. Where can you? For me, Tantra is where you step you step into a space of freedom.
Uh-huh.
To be yourself without this.
Yes.
And without this. And yes. Without this.
Yes.
And what is it that remains of you when you are just stepping into a space naked?
Mm.
You know, that's literally, but
it doesn't also get rawer than that, does it? Yes.
I see so many, you know, that reminds me of, you know, us being here on Koh Phangan right now, which is an island where, well, at least the area of the island where we're living, where people come here to improve themselves, to train in yoga, to do fitness, to train their bodies. Lots of Muay Thai going on here, lots of yoga schools and things like that.
Mm.
And with Tantra, what I really, really love is, of course, there are yoga practices in Tantra and all of that, but the actual thing in Tantra is that we're almost doing the opposite of self-optimization.
Yes.
It's rather... step into the space and give yourself freedom to be that which you already are right now without having to work on a kind of, you know, to build a persona or something.
Mm.
And that's something that's very, you know, this is very precious because this is something that very, very few people can access, to just be in your innate, spontaneous expression, right?
Mm. For me, as you're talking, there's like a metaphor that I have. And again, it comes back to this practice, this question, which I'm going to bring us back to in a minute. What is a spiritual practice?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, there is the metaphor of, so when I do my spiritual practice in the morning, and at the moment, it's a silent meditation practice. And this is a parallel to tantric practices, is that there's in this silent meditation practice, there is a getting rid of the mind activity and allowing yourself to be a blank canvas. And it's not just allowing your mind to surrender, but it's also allowing your body to surrender. And also I'd call like your energy, your body, your energy body, allowing that to surrender. And when those things happen, there is then a bliss that comes up through my body that burns as brightly as a star. It's like a white star of energy. And it's just complete, just sheer bliss. And for me, what I know, you know, we talk about this sense of knowing. What I know is in Tantra, when you're physically naked, when you're emotionally naked, when you're energetically naked, when you've been able to put down all of those things that cause you suffering, like you just let them rest, just put them to the edge of the room and pick them up at the end, and you just allow yourself to be in the moment. It sounds simple, but 7 billion souls of us here on planet Earth are struggling with how to do that. When you let all of those things go, and you don't worry about how you look, you don't worry about how you are, you don't worry about this, you don't let this episode in your life impinge on what's going on. When you're able to let go of all of those things, and I don't want to trivialize for a second, I just want to put in brackets, I don't want to trivialize those things that are really hard to let go of, because there's, you know, in a future podcast, we'll talk about healing. But when you're able to just put all of those aside, there is a state of bliss. And what I mean by bliss, it's like a joy, it's like a love, it's a knowing. It feels like, you know, if we like the idea of heaven, you know, that it's a heaven. But that is, for me, the natural state of here on planet Earth. And so whenever we look out on where we are on a day-to-day, you know, as we look out onto the world, if we're seeing anything other than bliss, then for me, it's where the ego has got in the way and distorts the reality. So for me, one of the most important fundamental steps of a spiritual practice is that it reminds you of the truth, that it's a practice, it's a techniques that you are doing to remind you of the truth of who you really are, which is bliss. That for me is sort of like the foundation stone of what a spiritual practice should be doing.
So if someone felt this longing, this sense that there was something bigger and they didn't know where to start, what would you say to them?
Well, what I was just answering was that first bit around why would you do a spiritual practice? And for me, a spiritual practice is to remind you of the truth of who you are beyond your mind. But also, I think there's a part in the Tantra journey, and you might have something to say about that bit, is around how you establish that as part of you. So I think when you first experience that bliss, that pleasure, it's like a whole like, oh my God, that was amazing. And you feel like your whole world has changed, your whole life has changed. And I think that's the first part on the spiritual journey of Tantra. The second part is then how you establish that in you as part of your makeup of who you are, as part of your identity, but not identity, actually, because that's an ego thing, but almost as part of your being. How do you allow your beingness? How does your beingness have space to shine in your day-to-day life? And I think a spiritual practice, whatever those techniques are, and we'll talk about that in a moment, they start to help establish that through repetition, through repeating, through being aware, conscious practice. You're establishing a foundation of beingness in your human experience.
Oh, good that you mentioned this. I mean, before we come to how do you start something like this or what techniques, good that you are saying this, because you are actually pointing to something which is super, super important for me. So when you start your spiritual journey, the most the most useful thing to really start with is to go with that longing.
Mm.
What are you longing for?
Mm.
Are you longing for bliss, for connection, for embodiment, for silence? And depending, and then to basically select one hook in that longing and follow it. For example, if you're looking for connection,
mm-hmm.
then the right thing to start with might be Tantra. If you're looking for just deep silence, the right thing to start with might be silent meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow that longing, and then you see, you give yourself, I would say, 3 to 6 months and see where it brings you.
Mm.
And this is the second thing that you are just talking about, which is really, really important,
mm.
is a good spiritual practice, which is a practice that is actually suitable for you specifically, because not every spiritual practice is suitable for everyone. This is really important. Tantra is suitable for many people, but not for everyone. Silent meditation, especially at the beginning of the spiritual journey, is not suitable for everyone. Wait a minute.
I want to speak to that bit in a second.
Yes, but so you try this out.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual practice in the beginning that just meets the one of the hooks that are in this longing and in this sense of potential. And then, if the spiritual practice fits you, there will be very, very clear signs when you practice. And these signs is what you were just referring to.
Mm-hmm.
You will have, the technical term is glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
You will have glimpses of bliss, of something else, of being at one with the world. You will have insights into you can even get glimpses already that early of you know what your true nature might feel like, and you practice, and then you get these glimpses, and they can be quite dramatic. Sometimes, wow, what the hell is this? And that is where you need a teacher, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if that works, then you're onto something. Then it makes sense to stay with that modality and not switch modality at that point, and to go deeper and deeper, you know. And then in my opinion, you have really started with the spiritual path. That's the actual start of the spiritual path. Having had a glimpse, following that glimpse, having found your practice that deepens these insights. That's the actual. For me, the actual definition of being on a spiritual path.
Thank you. Yes.
Makes sense.
And I want to pick up on the point because, again, we haven't yet, Ingo, disagreed with each other yet on the podcast publicly. We do in our retreat sometimes. We have different views and opinions.
Yeah.
And I feel a slightly, well, I'm not sure if you'll agree with me, but my opinion for a men who loves men community is to actually start with Tantra as opposed to a silent meditation practice. And this is for several reasons. One of the key reasons is that we are live in a society that is all about the mind. And it's getting worse. You know, we're on our mobile phones, we're in computers. If you actually look how much of your day that you are spent looking at any form of digital device or listening to any form of digital device, you know, it's a huge amount of our day. It can even exceed the amount of time that we're sleeping. And so what can happen is that you live in what I call a mind prism. And the danger is that we could end up believing that that is reality. And I think there is a mind reality. But the reason why you're here in a human body, in a physical form, in skin that has sensations, you know, you can see, you can hear, you can taste, you can touch. You know, for me, the human experience, and I used to say that Tantra wasn't at all political. I actually think Tantra is highly political. I've changed my view over the 18 years of teaching. And the reason why I think in this bit I'm talking about now that Tantra is political is what it's saying to you is the way through this thing called life is through your body. And I think we talked about last time about why is the body central to a spiritual practice? For me, there's no point starting with a silent meditation because all you're going to do is just torture yourself with your thoughts for God knows how long. Whereas having gentle body strokes over your body, feeling shudders of ecstasy, and like latching onto those and being totality. We talk about this term totality. I don't think we've talked about that yet. But being total in the sensations of your body is the embodiment, is the human experience. Yeah. And the spirituality that you're seeking is through your body. You know, again, we haven't yet talked about orgasm, and we will. We're going to talk about that for a whole podcast, several podcasts. But what we haven't yet talked about is the spirituality is through your orgasm. The spirituality is through your bliss. So for me, the danger in that earnestness of a spiritual practice is that the natural go-to would be any mind type of activity. And I think at a certain level, silent meditation is a silent mind activity. And actually, what you probably need is to have an embodied practice, something you're doing with your body. And again, I'm going to be shot down even beyond yoga. For me, tantra is beyond yoga. And again, that's a whole other podcast.
Beyond what we call postural yoga, like physical yoga, as taught in 90% of the yoga schools.
Spirituality
nowadays,
for me, is the greatest undoing of you. And what I mean by the greatest undoing of you, it's the undoing of you as you think your ego thinks that you are. Spirituality is for me about knowing the truth of you are, that you are part of a collective consciousness, that at some level we are all the same, living in this vibration of consciousness, each having 7 billion different human experiences and trying to figure that out. So when we talk about a spiritual practice, for me, it has to be in the body. It has to be movement. It has to be body. It has to be sex, because that's the starting point, because we're so conditioned in the mind that our spiritual practice needs to start outside of the mind.
I'm happy that you mentioned this because, let me elaborate on this a little bit. This, you know, this is at the core of Tantra. One of the greatest things that, you know, the great controversial Master Osho actually said is that traditional methods of silent meditation are not useful for what he called Western man. What he basically says, and I completely agree, this is what we see all the time, and this is the way I was before I come to Tantra, is that in our Western upbringing, our mind, by which I mean the analytical part of our mind, takes over everything. Of course it is needed if I want to be an engineer or something like that, but that doesn't mean that it has anything to say in the realm of meditation. The problem is, in our conditioning, and we don't even feel it, this part of our mind takes everything over.
Yes.
And that means most people who, you know, who start, this is what Osho said, most people who start silent meditation and have this Western conditioning, what is going to happen, they're going to sit day after day after day. Mm-hmm. And instead of like breaking through to something, you know, the next step, they will just feel the tortures of your mind, their thoughts going on and on and on and on and on. And this conditioning is one reason why basically Osho famously said that Tantra is the future for a Western spirituality. He actually meant Neo-Tantra. So Neo-Tantra, and I completely agree, Neo-Tantra that goes through the body. And because these techniques that we do, you know, when we start, we bypass that analytical part of the mind. And all of a sudden, very, very quickly, people can see, wow, there's something else. That's, for example, one reason why, you know, when I teach meditation, as you know, in our Tantra retreats, they're always embodied journeys. They're always, you know, involve breath and movement, and so it gets you out of the analytical part of your mind in your body, and then boom, something opens. And that is really, really important. And that's okay, I take that back. 99% of men who say, ah, there's something more, how can I experience that, I would say, don't start with silent meditation, that can come later.
Yes.
Start with something embodied.
Completely.
And Tantra is, you know, because it engages the sexual, it can be some of the most powerful
techniques. So that leads us into our next part around what would we recommend as a tantric spiritual practice. Just before we do that, for me, the last thought I want to add, and I'm worried because you and I we seem to run out of time rather than content to know what to talk
about.
Have
we covered about 10% of
what we wanted
to
say? Kind of useful for a podcast. I think we've got about a million additions in us. But I want to talk about this thing about love and truth.
Yeah.
And for me, what spirituality or what consciousness or what awakening, enlightenment, all in that bag is this combination of love and truth. And for me, Tantra, as we teach it, half of the journey is about opening to love, and half of the other journey is about being in truth to yourself and you and who you are. And these two together create these states of bliss that we're talking about. And for me, you don't experience love by doing silent meditation, but you do experience love when you're in connection with another, when you're in connection with a group, when you're in a field of conscious practice where the devotion is love. So again, for me, this is another reason why, you know, I absolutely recommend a spiritual practice of embodied spiritual practice of Tantra, because it's opening love and it's also helping you to deal with everything that gets in the way of that as well.
Well, and let me just add to clarify, truth
yes
is super, super important in Tantra. Truth is something that radically comes from inside yourself.
Yes.
And that radically is it's a realization of who you really are.
Yes.
And that type of truth is radically different from what people usually think when they hear the word truth. Mm. You know, they hear what is written in the Bible or something like that. In Tantra, the word truth means something radically different.
Mm.
It's something that you access, that you already have, and that no one else can give you, that no one else can take away from you, and that no one else can give you access to except if you do your own practice. Very, very, very important, because this departs very much from our kind of Christian worldview.
Yes. Again, we could open that up to a whole other discussion. So listen, Ingo, we're going to popcorn between us. What would you say people should be doing, or what recommendations do you have as a spiritual practice of Tantra? What could people be doing?
Well, it sounds trite, but we have talked about, you know, in the last episodes, we talked about an exercise already and things like that.
Yes.
I would actually say that at some point, it's super important to experience at least once the deep connection that you can get through Tantra to another person, because that opens something up that gives you a sense of what's available.
Let me summarize that. We're going to do bullet points.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things we talked about was a self-pleasuring practice.
Yes.
So there's techniques to do on your own. I think the other thing you're saying is practice with others.
Yes.
And actually the best way to practice with others is to go to events where Tantra is happening.
At least once, a good event where you really...
Like a week long, like a deep retreat, once, twice per year.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Or a festival.
We talked about books to read. We've already made a book recommendation.
Yeah.
What about meditation practice? What would you say about that?
So if you're new, I would actually, for the moment, let your meditation practice be your self-pleasuring practice.
Okay.
So it doesn't make sense to layer several things in because it confuses you. Do your self-pleasuring practice and work with that energy.
I was gonna introduce an Osho meditation, an Osho active meditation to bring into your spiritual practice in addition to your self-pleasuring practice.
Okay, then start with the Kundalini.
Okay, Osho Kundalini meditation. Do that for 3 months?
Yes.
Yeah, every day?
Yeah.
2 or 3 times a week, morning or evening?
It's important to do something every day.
Okay.
And for the moment, again, let's say to begin with, alternate every day between the Kundalini meditation and a self-pleasuring practice.
And also community.
Yes.
We talk about our Tantra community, community.tantraforgaymen.com. And, you know, find others that are in this journey with you and make friends, make community, and share.
Yes.
So those, I think that was a top 5 tips. Self-pleasuring practice, read books, go to events, find community, and do active meditation, Kundalini
that's
meditation.
Beautiful. That's a good top 5.
I think that's good.
Yeah, try to do all of these, and it's just going to get you somewhere in no time.
And so as we talk about retreats, let's talk about one that we are offering called Healing and Surrender. Healing and Surrender in beautiful Glastonbury, which is a spiritual landscape here in the UK. And what's the dates of it, Ingo?
It starts on the 30th of November to the 6th
to Friday
of December. So it's great because it's this cozy early pre-Christmas time,
yes.
Late autumn.
Yes.
It's really cozy and beautiful to come together with a community and practice.
And this is an ideal week if you consider yourself on a spiritual journey or a spiritual seeker. You don't necessarily need any specific experience, but it's helpful, say, if you've done some therapy in your life or you have some self-reflection practices that you're kind of processing what's happening for you. I would say that was kind of one of the core foundations that you need. And the other thing you need is a sense of adventure, even though you may be scared at times or frightened at times, that you're willing to give things a try and a go that might, in the first time, look a bit shocking.
A sense of adventure.
Yes.
To throw yourself in. Well, whilst knowing that the community that comes together there in that retreat is quite incredible. And
yes.
Everyone will welcome you with open arms. That
yes.
means adventure actually becomes really exciting and much
yes.
less scary.
And for me, the theme healing and surrender, these are two massive themes that I'm not sure we can eloquently
God, yeah.
talk about in a few minutes. But the healing aspect is around exploring what needs healing in you and giving yourself space to be with that. Like normally, if we've experienced things in our life, we typically just like push them down, stuff them down, put them away, but we're still carrying those around with you. And half of this retreat is giving you the space to acknowledge what needs healing. And we are doing physical embodied practice of energetic release, but also another concept we'll talk about in a future podcast is this concept of journeying. And so in some of these healing practices, healing techniques that we're doing, we're actually enabling you to kind of go journeying into you in a way that is very deep, very profound, and really gives you the space to bring healing to those aspects of yourself.
I couldn't have put it better.
So the other half of the retreat is around surrender. And that is like in Tantra, again, we're going to talk in a future episode about the divine masculine and the divine feminine, not to be confused with gender, but these two polarities in yourself that we all carry. And one part of the divine feminine aspect in each of us is around how we explore surrender. And we have an incredibly unique, incredibly deep and powerful way for you to experience surrender in a way that you're probably unlikely to be able to manifest in your day-to-day life. And I think that's one of the other things I would say that's important about coming on retreat, is that you're putting yourself into environments that are difficult to be able to manifest in your day-to-day, which is why you would go on a retreat.
Oh yeah, this is important. Retreats create conditions, I would say, that you are not able to create yourselves for yourselves in your everyday life.
Yeah.
There's a group, we can work with each other, and also, you and me, Jason and I, we've got a lot of experience in creating conditions that that help you along through some blocks.
So that's the Healing and Surrender Retreat. The dates again?
Saturday 30th. I think it's Saturday the 30th of November to Friday the 6th of December.
If you're coming in internationally,
And it's in Glastonbury.
It's easy to get to. You fly into London's Heathrow, and then a quick train, 1.5 hour train to Castle Carey, and 20 minutes in a taxi, and you're there. So it's easy to get to. Details are on the Tantra for Gay Men website. Okay, Ingo, it's been a joy to share this with you today, my sweet love.
And the same.
I'm excited for our dinner date, our romantic dinner time later with you, looking into those beautiful brown eyes. I love you. And yes, for you, dear listener, I got sidetracked there for a moment. We will look forward to seeing you in our next episode, episode 6. Okay, take care.
Take care. Thank you, darling.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello there. So I really hope that you enjoyed episode 5 of our podcast. If you'd like to join in the conversation about this podcast, you can do that on our community platform, community.tantraforgaymen.com. And if you'd like more information about the retreat, you can find that on our website, tantraforgaymen.com. Episode 6 is going to be about exploring chemsex, high and horny, and relationships to Tantra.